In the name of one God, Holy Trinity. Amen. Three weeks in a row now, we've heard stories of the day of the resurrection or the days shortly after. And on Easter morning, we heard the account from Mark's gospel. The women went to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body, but instead of the body, they encountered an angel who told them that Jesus was raised, and then that they would see him in Galilee. What was their reaction? Mark says, they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Last week, we heard John's telling of the story of Easter night. The disciples had locked themselves in a room, waiting for whatever was about to come their way. They had heard from Mary Magdalene that she had actually talked to the risen Jesus, and yet they were locked in a room, afraid. And folded into John's story is the wonderful story of Thomas, who was not about to believe until he saw. And now this week we have Luke's telling of the story. The scene we heard today comes right after what we have come to call the Emmaus Road story, where two of the disciples met Jesus on the road, and at first didn't recognize him until he breaks bread with them. Then they rush back to Jerusalem and tell the others what had happened. They're standing around talking about this, and then today's story picks up the narrative. Jesus stood among the disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." What was their reaction? They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. Jesus shows them that he is no ghost by showing them his hands and his feet, and then by eating a piece of bread, of boiled fish. He was hungry. Here's the beautiful thing about these three stories. None of them shy away from the fact that the first people to see Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, either didn't recognize him, or if they did, they were frightened and didn't believe what their eyes were telling them. I suppose it might have been easier to believe if he had come back as a ghost, but back in a body? Jesus breaks back onto the scene 3 days after the political and religious powers of the day had executed him, murdered him, committed horrific violence to his body, and apparently thought they had snuffed him out. It's no wonder that everyone who encountered him after his resurrection had a hard time believing. His resurrection was God saying no to corrupt worldly power and institutionally sanctioned violence, and yes, to love. God saying no to death and destruction of the sacred human body, and yes, to life, community, and peace. Jesus' first words to his friends were, "Peace be with you." It was a vital message that his community needed to hear that day when they were confused and afraid, and it is a good message for us to hear today. Even though we live in this somewhat idyllic place, Jackson Hole, and granted, the problems that we deal with are mostly first world problems, it is 2018 and we're connected to the greater world in unprecedented ways. And even though I believe that the world is full of promise, of mercy, and peace, it is an anxious time. It's a time when, wherever you fall on the political spectrum, you might not know who to trust or who to believe. It's ironic that today, when we have access to more information than we can possibly digest, I tend to pay the most attention to the information that confirms what I already believe. Information that promotes peace is in short supply today. So if we have a hard time believing in the message of peace, calm, and community, it is a message that we are not only called to hear, but also to proclaim. Jesus bursts onto the scene on the road to Emmaus and in Jerusalem, not as a ghost, but as a human being with a human body. John and Luke both tell us that Jesus did not only come into this world once as a human being at his birth, but as if that weren't enough, he came back into the world a second time after his death. It's as if once wasn't enough to get the message of God's love and peace across. It's as if God understood and accepted our hard-headedness, our tendency to fear and the unknown and to disbelief, and had to send Jesus back a second time to try to make the point that here is where we are supposed to do our work. Here in the world, here in these bodies, this is our chance. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. So says the writer of 1 John, our reading from the New Testament today. I love that. We are God's children now, here and now, just as we are, these bodies today. We are somehow perfect in our imperfection because God loves us and claims us as God's kids. And yet, who knows what we will become? It has not yet been revealed. The writer goes on to say, little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. Righteous and righteousness are two of those words that I shy away from. No, I don't just shy away from them. I run away from them because they are so loaded down with baggage. Because to be righteous has come to imply that one is rigid in one's belief and that righteousness somehow sets one apart from the rest of those sinners who don't quite make the cut. But if everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as Jesus is righteous, what does that mean that we are to do? Well, what did Jesus do during his life? What did he spend his life doing? Kowtowing to political and religious leaders of the day as if they were gods? No. Cozying up to the rich, the powerful, and the privileged in order to gain status and advantage? No. Condemning people for being sick, disadvantaged, outsiders, lazy? No. Spreading fear and anxiety among those who would listen in order to sway their support towards him and his agenda? No. In fact, Jesus did just the opposite of all of these things. In his life, in the flesh, in this world, he showed us the ways of being good, of being in sync with God's generous, loving nature. The lives, the bodies of those who had the least, who were broken, outcast, diseased, were the lives that mattered to Jesus, because they didn't matter to those who had the most. Notice that in the stories we have of Jesus' second go-around here in the world, he didn't appear to the Romans who had killed him, or to the Jewish leaders who had egged them on. Maybe God knew that that wouldn't do any good anyway, and that they'd just kill him a second time. Jesus showed up, scarred and resurrected, and apparently hungry, to those who had eyes to see and ears to hear and hands to touch him and to touch those whom he loved. This is how God's kingdom is lived out here in the world, how we, as the body of Christ, get to follow Jesus today. To bring it close to home, I'd like to give you a real-world example of how St. John's has made a difference to a family in our neighborhood. You probably know that we've partnered with Lower Valley Energy to help those less fortunate than us, specifically people who are having serious trouble paying their power bills and are facing having their power disconnected. And because of your generosity, because of our generosity, we're able to help people in that situation. Margaret is our point person, the one who LVE contacts when other avenues of help run out. Here's an email that Margaret received on April 3rd. We have a family in Star Valley that is up for disconnect next week. The total owing on their account is $1,666.34. I spoke with M today, and he is now going to be working two jobs. He has five children and has had vehicle maintenance issues, and it sounds like the last two children born, he did not have health insurance, so he's having to pay medical each month. Is there any possibility that the church could help him? Well, because members of this church take seriously the words of Jesus to help our neighbors, to act as his hands in the world, Margaret was able to answer his email. We will pay the bill. And we did. And here's the email that arrived the next day. Margaret, he just called and was crying. He said thank you through the tears. So a huge thank you from me also to your organization. It truly touches me spiritually in ways that I haven't felt in a long time. Have a great week. We did have a great week. This is just one example of how we touch others in Jackson and beyond and spread God's love in real, tangible, embodied ways. It's one example of how we take seriously the importance of Jesus' message of compassion and peace. A family with five children was able to keep the lights and the heat on. The person whose job is to help when they can, but also is to disconnect family's power when help runs out, was touched by the Spirit in new and surprising ways. That is St. John's, living out the resurrected life, acting as the body of Christ in the world where it counts.